Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
I'm literally so close to my period, so I'm taking out on you. I really hope you enjoy your new puzzles. Bye.
Deleted.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer, and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood, and of course, daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Not morning! You can't just say morning.
But it's my catchphrase.
it's not her catchphrase. It's a YouTuber who does Disney vlogs who I watch called Adam Hatton, and she says it because she doesn't think it's a phrase and I think it's his phrase.
Can you have morning?
Look,
I think a catchphrase has to be something that you wouldn't be saying anyway.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone goes, morning.
Yeah. Say, thank
well,
you.
Well, how come if he has saying, it on T-shirts?
If he was saying, cool little kitty cats morning, that's a catchphrase because it's not a normal piece of vernacular. But just going, morning.
Thank you.
He's just so unimaginative.
This episode already. I hate it.
I mean, that's the same as going, oh, my catchphrase is hello, like that. And just because I put it on a T-shirt doesn't mean it's a catchphrase. It just means you're trying to take advantage of people.
But I want one. And I don't feel like I'm being taken advantage of.
Oh, Helen, you are.
He's such a nice man. And he loves Disney.
He isn't.
He is.
He's a little bit. Simple.
That is unbelievable.
He
used to work in Epcot. I've never been, but it looks amazing.
I think, but you've got the problem with, like, and I know, what's your opinion on Disney, Rosie?
A little bit.
So, right, we all love Disney, yeah? I like Disney. Yeah. But you have to accept that Disney are inherently an evil corporation. Mm. Like, that. So the fact he loves Disney and worked for Disney doesn't mean he's a great guy. That means he's worked for one of the biggest and lowest tax-paying companies in the world.
This?
That's like being like, oh, my God, he worked at Amazon, so he must be fine. Thanks for having me here.
No, don't even try the niceties, because I have so many problems with you right now, and I'm going to list through them.
I just want to say, like, thank fuck you finally got me on your podcast. I've been asking Helen, because I like your podcast. I listen to your podcast.
No.
I've been asking Helen for over a year, and whenever I ask, she's like, yeah, oh my God, we'll definitely get you on. New series comes out, I'm not on it. Who have you got? Oh, Helen. Joe Sutherland. Oh, everyone that isn't Matt. And I'm going, I've got more profile than these people. Get me on.
Helen!
In my defence, in number one, we wrote a list when we first started doing this podcast of everyone wanted to do it with, which is a list of about 50, 60 names. Yeah. And then we add people on because we remember and we go, oh, we want them. And our list is constantly growing. Okay. And then someone says, can I be on it? And we're like, oh my God, 100%, that'd be great. We add them to the list. And getting to them, it just, you know what?
Snip, snip, snip. That list needs to go down.
We probably do need to do a colour vid. The amount of them, they're probably assholes now.
And look. By now, season 4, we're better interviewers.
And well, also, I'm going to start a fight with him right now before we interview him.
Also, you've got more listeners, so it's more worth my while.
Yeah.
You know.
So we really keep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, shut your fucking mouth. I've got a problem with you and I want to say what it is, okay? We will get into the interview. We will be kind to you. We will be interested in your childhood, we're probably not going to be interested in your childhood because realistically it was in Didcot. shout out to Didcot though. We love Didders here. We fucking don't. What a hole. I basically, last night, was blackout drunk.
Were you drunk yesterday?
Honestly.
I'm didn't realize.
I video called Rosie out of nowhere, eating beef, not in a good way. And then we were ranting about mental health and people giving each other advice for it. Yeah. And like constantly getting like really generic advice from people. And it's never right. And it's so frustrating. And like me and my friends who I was talking to, we have like very similar experience with mental health. Probably why we get on so well as well. So people are like, oh, just like people think this, but it's like, it's different for everyone. And it's different every day. Sometimes you don't feel that way. Sometimes you feel confident, sometimes you don't. And just like, but people just think that they always have the answer. And it's just so frustrating. And my phone just went bim bim, and I was like, oh, I'm hooked. And I get my phone out, Matt Richardson. Hey pal, I'm just getting in touch with some tips that I find useful to help out. My first suggestion is have a chamomile tea around now. It's at 9:30. Maybe do a mindfulness. The Calm app also really helps. And I lost it. I was with my friends and I was like, what the? This is prime example. You have never messaged me something like that before in my life.
I cannot believe I timed this so well with what you were talking
about.
Honestly,
I was like, and here we go, proof again. Do you guys remember the Extra Factor? Well, that fucking knobhead. Just losing it. And then an hour later, I get a nervous message from you being like, you haven't asked me what I'm giving you advice for. Can you please ask? And I was like, fine, I'll fucking buy it. And I was like, okay, hit me. What's the advice for? And he's like, the first you're going to struggle to sleep because you're so excited to have me on your podcast. Like a 10-year... I just responded in all caps. Fucking hell.
Tell us about little Matthew.
Beautifully done.
I'm going to use... one word that my mum uses whenever anyone brings up me as a child, precocious.
Hello.
Yeah. I was showed a lot of early promise. So people used to, when I was like four, people used to be like, oh my God, you need to get him tested for Mensa.
Yeah.
And like my mum never did and was proved right in the long term. But I was quite bright. I like was very articulate as a really little
child.
Just
like long words sort of a thing.
Long words, you know, like... And having chats, like, spoke to lots of adults, you know, a weirdo when, you know, you get that awkward middle bit. But
yeah. Oh, no, Rosie did the exact same thing. She was very
yeah. You know what? I've got a lot of friends on Facebook that are dinner ladies that were at my school.
Oh, yes, speaking my language.
There we go, you know.
Oh, my dinner lady is the first person to like any status.
It's lovely. And you know what? Bleep. His husband died recently. That was sad. But, you know, she always moaned about him. So hopefully she goes on to have that lovely life after 50. Yeah.
So, right, keep describing yourselves. You're a precocious friend of the adults and dinner ladies.
Yeah. I was definitely not like cool. I mean, if obvious.
What?
Thank you, Rosie.
That is surprising.
And you know what? And the thing is, people are surprised to find out that I really kind of like lent into my cool side like as I got older. No. You know,
I don't know. Because I know that you know every single plane in the world and the routes they take and you're really into trains.
Yeah, let's bring that up.
I know you haven't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course I haven't.
I'm struggling with this because I can't put together where the cool comes in.
There was never any
cool. Okay, good, okay.
He was joking.
Okay, Rosie, if we are going to be friends for the sake of this episode...
Joke. He was using comedy and being sarcastic.
I'm sorry I missed the joke, Matt.
It's cool. I mean, it's... it was, you know, I think I was quite an unusual... my mum would say I was an unusual little boy. She said that when I grew up, she said she knew I'd do something... different with my life. She went, I don't know if you'd have an unusual job or if you'd end up like... This is what my mum genuinely said. She went, I always thought you'd have an odd job or be gay. Like, you weren't a normal child. Like, you weren't into... Like, I liked reading the encyclopedia, like, all the things that seven-year-olds really love. So, I think I always felt quite odd, I suppose.
Yeah.
Not until, you know what, when I got to like 11, 12, 13, not so much, but when I was like little, I always felt weird.
So did you ever have friends at school?
Yeah, I did. Who was...
great friend name.
Who was, now think about, like, and weirdly, because think about this podcast, I hadn't thought about him for decades. And also, like, I look back and he was like this 7-year-old, 40-year-old man.
Of course he
imagine,
was.
Imagine, you know, in Channel 4 make a show about a rich couple who have a chateau that is dilapidated.
Escape and the chateau.
That's the show I mean, yeah. And there's always like this owner who's like a posh kind of dishevelled man and all
Dick.
Of his...
Yeah. Strawbridge.
Yeah. But the, like, the, that was... But as a 7-year-old.
No!
Yeah. This kind of like weird 40... Like he was lovely. Like,
brilliant.
But kind of quite posh, very sensible 7-year-old. Like it was... So
but
he
what
was
did
like,
you play? Like, well, did you play?
We played... We played Escape to the Chateau. Yeah, we played. We didn't really. I was always devastated when I was little that it got to the point where you had to go and play outside. I was quite happy.
Yeah.
I was quite happy with wet play in the classroom.
Big time.
Like that was that is where I was really in my groove. Yeah. Like as soon as they're like, pop, go on, out you go, I'd be like, oh, she's running around and stuff. Yeah. This is terrible.
Surely playing Escape to the Chateau is easier outside than it is.
Not if you don't want to get beaten up.
Oh no, you were beaten up.
Well, yeah, can you imagine talking about renovating the fourth bedroom? In front of all the kids playing football.
So maybe the dinner ladies will protect you.
I think if you're playing Escape to the Chateau when you're 7, you deserve everything you get. The dinner ladies.
Oh.
We didn't play. No, we didn't really. So I was never like a play, like a, you know, I never went out and played like football and things. No. Like I liked indoor activities.
I would have loved you. I would have fallen in love with you.
So my mum always brings up the fact that when I was younger, I didn't like people pulling on my jumper. Like when I was at school, like I didn't like being... like any roughhousing or anything like that. So like I was very
particular.
I was a really particular child. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I've gotten like kind of, I've really mellowed out as I've gotten older, but I was quite a highly strung little boy.
Oh, that's quite sweet though, isn't it? Yeah. In like an anxious way. Yeah. You.
I'm just imagining you as you are just small.
Yeah, you go like, pulled on my jumper and ruining the thread.
Yes. And you know, yeah, I was very sort of particular about a lot of things.
I suppose you are like...
Food, very weird about food as a kid as well, like all of that.
In what way?
I mean, obviously, you know what? My mum always says, in hindsight, she wished she'd had me tested for autism because my brother's autistic and she's like, you are as well, mate.
But
like,
didn't you also get tested when your sibling was diagnosed?
No, they only got one tester.
Me and my brother both got tested.
And?
Neither of us had it.
Really?
We were just both on the... We were both dyslexic.
Okay.
But neither of us got an autism diagnosis.
But I was very like... Because all the things that bothered me...
Now
like,
I think I did and no one told me. Fuck!
Yeah.
Mum, call me. This is awkward.
No, Helen. You're fine.
No. You're just a special girl. But the things that bothered me were like... textures, so like I could never have labels in my mum had to cut all of the labels out of my clothes, and I couldn't eat certain textured foods, which are all kind of things that would put you on the autistic spectrum. So like I was very uptight about all those kind of things.
Yeah,
labels were a big one. I couldn't have labels in my clothes for years, and also stickers. So you know when you get stickers, like stickers used to send me really. Don't like, even today I don't like stickers. Like they make me feel all funny and weird. Like, I don't like the feeling of it.
I just don't think the adults liked you either. Like, I'm trying to figure this out here. And you're like, I was really popular with the dinner ladies. They're probably like, fucking hell, here we go again. He went on beans.
Oh, fucking like, stickers McGee.
Yeah, here comes no stickers, no beans.
So you didn't even want a sticker at the dentist?
No, like I would, when they go, do you want a sticker? I'd just be like, no, thank you. I just didn't like having stickers on me. Like, and if you'd go somewhere, they'd put one on you. My mum would be like, just give it a minute and then I'll take it off.
Yeah.
Okay, just because it would like really, I never liked it at all.
I put stickers on myself at home sometimes. I've got like mermaid well done stickers. And every now and again, I'll just wake up and I'll put on a mermazing and feel great.
See, that gives me anxiety now. Like, and also like, because stickers, because the problem with stickers as well is like, you see, It's like when I used to go around people's houses and they'd have like stickers on their windows and their walls and they go gross really quickly. Yeah, and like I didn't like that. And I'm not like a really, really tidy person, but like I've got, even now, I haven't talked about stickers for a long time. I still have a thing about stickers, it turns out.
Well, actually, now you say that, you know what I hate? Adults who put stickers on their laptop.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
Why did they
Okay, Winnie,
that?
I'm coming to join you next door. I just don't think I'm in this conversation.
Do you have stickers on your laptop?
I don't think I do on my laptop, but I have it on like notepads, mirrors at home. Like I decorate. I'm an embellisher.
My laptop problem is why would you spend all that money?
Absolutely.
To ruin it.
I'm not ruining it.
It'll look shit in like
it never looks good.
Day.
I know someone and he is a man in his 50s and he's got like Supreme stickers and all that on his laptop. Yeah. And I was like, you just look like a sad old man trying to be 18. Like it's all this is. And the other one so I work with a guy, a cameraman who's got this big kind of metal suitcase, like a Rimowa, you know, those really, really expensive ones. Like
yeah.
1,200 quid.
Yeah.
And every time he goes to a new country, he puts a sticker on it. He gets
lovely.
A sticker.
Lovely. I like that.
I'm like, mate, it's a 1,200 pound suitcase. Like, why would you put stickers on that? Like, it's lovely. It's designed to look like that.
But it's nice. It's like a collectible.
And he's like, yeah, and it looks really cool. I was like, it doesn't. It looks dirty. I don't want to touch it.
Yeah.
Are you the same with fridge magnets?
So. Yes, but I've been usurped in my house over fridge magnets. We do have fridge magnets.
Great.
But like it's not something I would never buy magnets for my fridge.
In my new place.
I just bought you a fridge magnet, Rosie, and you know this. Be very, very careful here. Cause you said you liked it. You're not gonna use it, are you?
I will keep it.
Oh my God.
Not on the fridge.
Not on the fridge.
And yet you give me a fridge magnet, which is a plastic dolphin bottle opener.
That's so
that says
you.
Barbados. And it's straight on the fridge.
That's
straight on the fridge.
So
you would like.
Look, the thing is, if I ever see like a little bit of tat, I think Helen would love that.
Helen's
like,
probably already got it.
You do like my girlfriend likes a bit of tat, and like there's this sort of ongoing battle of like, oh, should we have a little tuk tuk with an elephant on the top, and it says Thailand on the side, in a place where we live, and I'm like, no, we shouldn't. But, so there's this kind of constant like.
Where did you get the tuk-tuk with the elephant on it? I'd like to get one of those.
Some, you know those shops you walk past, like...
Tiger,
all that kind of stuff, like she loves. Whereas when I lived alone for a while, my house looked like no one lived there. Like, I don't like tat and things like that. And I think it's the sticker thing. You know? I think we would be really good housemates, actually. Yeah. I think we've got a very similar idea.
My flat is very clean.
Yeah.
No tat.
I'm not clean. I have a selection of postcards all over the place.
You like, but it's not a cleanliness thing. It is just a like, I find it hard to have lots of stuff around and on the walls. And like,
what about positive mantras?
But you are.
No, I just text them to you instead.
And I get livid.
Your rows are very tidy.
I'm extremely tidy.
Are you tidy?
Yeah.
I'm quite. You've been to my house. We've got a tidy.
You're very tidy as well. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, when I've got loads of stuff, I find it hard to be tidy. So I need the minimum.
Yeah.
Because then it makes my life easier.
I'm now thinking about it because I remember when I came around your house and I was blown away because Matt's got something which I see as the ultimate sign of having made it. And I freaked out because I've never been around one before. But he owns a large, large Diptyque-scented candle, but like a bucket-sized one. And I remember you very earnestly looking at me with tears in your eyes being like, my first big job.
I bought myself
a candle.
I love if I ever do any, whenever I do like, say, a TV, like a series of something, which is getting less and less frequent, I'll always be like, I'm going to treat myself to a big Diptyque. Because I think going, and I always, always go and buy it in Liberty. Because that for me is I've worked hard. I'm going to Liberty to buy a Diptyque candle.
What I'm saying is next time you do that, let me come over and I'll decorate it.
Yeah.
Put some beads on it, stick some pasta on it, tie some ribbon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Matt, we're at school.
Yeah.
We're precocious. We're putting ourselves out there. We've got one friend and we're friends with loads of dinner ladies.
We cut our labels out.
We've cut the labels out.
We're going...
So if I lose my jumper, I don't know that it's mine.
Yeah.
I imagine you will. You'll be that kid that goes, that doesn't have the reason, right?
Well, yeah, that'd be like, all the sleeves are natty on those, whereas mine is actually perfect. And at my school, at my primary school anyway, we had purple uniforms, bright purple jumpers and purple and gold ties. Like, we really stuck out. Like, it wasn't a fun time.
Oh, mate.
That's
I think
so
you would have been
great.
Popular, though. Did you enjoy... like, getting on with people and attention at school?
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't really... I remember when I was 10, we did a play at school and we did Titanic. And
stop.
What?
Not the movie version, but they decided when we were 10 that they would... The music teacher was amazing and they wrote a play of Titanic.
Okay, really quickly, The listeners can all pause this, go quickly onto YouTube and type in Mr. G Titanic. We will be referencing that in a minute. Yeah. Watch it. Welcome back. Carry on.
So we did a Titanic play and I played the captain and it was the first time.
No.
Yeah, I mean.
So it was your fault?
It was, well, you know
it was
what?
The lookout. It was the lookout.
And it was the first time I'd been given like a part in something like that where I wasn't just another child and I had some lines. And I hated it. I didn't enjoy it at all,
what?
Actually.
But the teachers wrote it themselves.
Yeah, Mrs. Harrison was our music teacher and she used to write plays, she would write like musicals.
I love
her. And she was so amazing. And she just like, and she'd write all this stuff. And we had our own hymns at our school that she'd written. Like, she was awesome. Basically, I think, you know, she ended up teaching at school and she was like, you know what? I'm going to do this how I fucking want to do it. Like, fuck these kids. We're doing my Opus Dei.
So at 10 years old, you're performing a musical. Are you auditioning at 10 at your school?
No. You just put it in. But like, they go, look, you're going to do you're going to do a big part. And at one point, when we were doing the rehearsal, the teachers questioned if I was the right choice for the fairly meaty role of captain of the Titanic. Yeah, I know.
But I find that amazing because usually people come on and they say, oh, my first role on stage, I will say, yes, I am born for this.
Yeah, I wasn't at all. And even when I got to secondary school, there was like, you don't have to be in the plays then, do you? You can audition. And my secondary school always did like a musical. And they're all the musical theatre kids.
Yeah, we're both musical theatre kids. So yeah, but, I don't know where that came from.
But like, I was never in them. I went...
No!
Never interested. I went and auditioned for one of them once. And they're like, you can be in the chorus. And I just hated it. And I asked... I did the backstage stuff. That's what I wanted to do instead. I went and did that. Like, that was more...
Yeah.
I wanted to be involved in it all and I liked it all.
No, I did the exact same thing.
But I wasn't interested. Yeah, I wasn't interested in being on stage, really? Like, because I wasn't very comfortable.
Yeah.
But then also, I did, like, I would then go and do a talk. Like, I'd talk about something for 10 minutes in front of, like, a class or a school and, like, would find that... public speaking wasn't...
Yeah.
You know what it was? It was the fact... It was other people's words. That's not what... That's probably what I wasn't interested in.
No, I know what you mean, learning lines.
Yeah. All that I didn't enjoy.
Yeah, you wanted all the creative control.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, even, like, when I was, like, a teenager, like, I was in a couple of bands and all that and I never really liked that. Mm. And it was when I did comedy and I was like, oh, I don't have to rely on anyone else. I can do everything.
You
if it's awful, it's me.
Say what I want.
Exactly. And but also, if it goes well or goes terribly, it's all on me. And more probably in that way, being a comedian is the ultimate control freak job.
Oh, yeah.
You kidding?
There's no collaboration at all. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, if, when I used to do, like, projects and things, if there was, like, in a class and there was a speaking bit, I'd be like, no, 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 you're doing this. Like, I knew my vision. But so plays at school didn't work for me because there was too many other people. Yeah.
But this is what we always talk about, which is, like, the comics that we get in who were into drama at school, did drama GCC, we were in charge of our group. Like, I picked our theme, I wrote the scripts, I organised the whole thing, I did the rehearsal schedule. Like, there was no way. But then even at A-level, like, I insisted on us doing comedy. No one else was doing comedy. We did it, but I was in charge.
Yeah.
But there was no question that they would ruin my vision.
GCC English, we had to do, what is it, speech and...
drama.
In English.
You do like drama, a spoken... what do they call it?
What is something?
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
So, like, you do, like, a spoken assessment. Like, so you do, like, obviously you do, like...
Oh, like an oral assessment.
An oral assessment. Yeah, like that.
Oh, yay! I love it when I get something right.
But on my one, you had to do it in partners, and I picked... someone and you wouldn't be at with it.
Oh my God.
I would say, mate, don't worry, go home. And I literally did it all, did a PowerPoint and wrote a script and just the morning of gave them the secret and just said, say that. And they did, and we got full marks.
So I've got, like, not a dissimilar story to that. When we did the GCSE one, so, like, I wasn't into plays and stuff, but, like, I was... like, I was, like, I was a distracting presence in the classroom. My mum was told we'd go to parents' evening, and my mum would sit down, and she'd go, before you start, distract others, too easily distracted. If he likes what he's doing, works really hard, but otherwise not interested. And they'd all go, yeah. And she's like, it's been the same since he was five. I'm not interested.
It's fine. It'll be a start.
It's fine. We know where we're going. But when I did the oral assessment, I had a fucking great English teacher, Miss Salisbury, who, like, really nurtured us all. And, like, I really liked English. And for my, I didn't know what I wanted to talk about for my oral assessment. So I said to her, I was like, I don't think I'm going to plan anything. I kind of floated it with her and I went, and I'm going to get up and take suggestions, which, I mean, is basically stand-up. Like,
no, it's stand-up without a net. What's that show called in Edinburgh?
Setlist.
Setlist! You setlisted your GCSE oral exam. Basically.
So I got up and I went, what would you like me to talk about? And, like, and kind of, I knew everyone in my... no, and someone just went, dreams. And so I just... I made up this thing and I was, like, taking questions, like, what would you like to know about? And someone was going, what do you think about REM dreaming? I was like, REM? And they're like, so what does it mean? I was going, really? Everything's made up because they're drilling, like, and I just made up this whole bullshit thing.
And was it funny?
Yeah, it was. I think it was funny, but also, like, for me, that was like flying by the seat of my pants, like that in front of people. Yeah. Like, that was like a, I think I remember that so vividly. That for me is like a big developmental step in my life, that moment happening. Yeah. Wow. Rather than being in plays and stuff, like something like that. And also me and my mates used to make, like, we'd be given a group project, like, say, three or four, and we'd go, well, rather than writing a project, we're going to make a funny film. So, like, we made... for geography, we had to do a travel thing. Yeah. And we were like, right, what we're going to do is we're going to make a... we're going to make a travel show about our hometown, which is shit. Like, it's a shithole.
Hey, you've got the train.
So we did a wish you were here thing. Like a wish you were here style thing about our hometown. Like, and I used to write all that and do, like, so things like that, whereas basically what we all do now.
I loved
that shit. Like, I ate that up. So that's the stuff that I really like performing. And we did, like, a silly one, like a history one where it was like a news channel about history, like all this, which I still have, actually. And sometimes I play it and I'm like, oh, my God, I've really gone downhill in my creative choices. This was great.
I'm trying to figure out, like, why you didn't think you should go for the school plays.
I just, you know what, I just didn't like it. And even now, like...
Did you have a shit drama teacher or something?
No, like, it wasn't like a big drama thing, but also, I was never like, I don't really like singing and dancing, and like, you've got no choice. Like, you can't, you're not going to just go and be... Like a funny, you've got to do it all.
But I've been in cars with you where you've played the same song from Matilda the Musical five times to get it right.
I love doing it with you. Okay. I find that like a terrifying prospect. but also, I think, I don't know. I just didn't, it was just never my, it's weird, but it wasn't my thing.
I know. It is weird, but we all go through those phases.
George never wanted to be told what to
Yeah, and you know what? Like, have you done, I've not, I, you know, you get to do a bit of acting in this job sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did, every audition I've ever been to for an acting job, I've absolutely hated every second of it. Yeah. And then, I don't want to like really rub my career in your face, guys, but in 2012, I was in the Anchor Butter advert. And
shut up!
The Life of Our Kitchen.
I love Anchor Butter.
Who did you play?
I played a cat. I was that's the Lurpak, isn't it? The little guy.
I can't believe you were in an Anchor Butter advert.
Yeah, I was just like the son in a family. It was like 5 days of filming and I hated every second of it.
No.
Because my agent was like, oh, you know, we can, my agent at the time was like, we could put you up for more acting roles. It just, I get nothing out of acting. Unless I've written it and like, it's like sketchy or, I really wanted to like make films. I wanted to be like, I thought that would have been really cool.
Yeah.
And even now, like I'd quite happily, like I've written a sitcom that has nothing to do with me. That I'm not interested in. I quite like making things, but I don't want to be like, you know, I think I like the idea of being like in the West End, but I think I would hate every second of it.
No, I think
you'd be good in the West End.
Yeah, it'd be great. Right, Matt, you're in secondary school. You're not doing school plays.
No.
But you are doing your weird little videos with your weird little...
Yeah, no, absolutely my weird little... Yeah.
With your weird little friends.
Like, look, I don't want to say we were weird, but, like, we all lost our virginity post-17. Like, we're those people.
This is what I want to know. How were you with the ladies?
So, you know what? Weirdly, I went to in my hometown, there was a boys' school and a girls' school. Yeah. So, like, we weren't around girls all the time, which was fucking great at school because you didn't have to worry about them liking you or anything. So you could really develop into the kind of person you, like, actually were. But quite well, we had, like, girl mates out of school. I'd always kind of like had girlfriends for like a couple of weeks here and there or things. I'm trying to think of any of the names. Bleeps! I went out with for a bit. Fingered her on Lady Grove Hill.
Actual surname, and we'd have beeped out by now, but like, is that?
Bleep! I went out with for a couple of weeks.
Oh my
great
god.
Who else was there? Like, just a few, like,
Bleep!
So you sound like you were popular with the ladies.
Yeah. Like, always for like, but it was all like quite. But you know what? They were all... Look, I mean, they were all like... We were all in the same bracket of popularity. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, sevens go out with sevens. Yeah. Like, it's very much that. So
you're not a seven.
I'm not talking like seven, like, looks or anything. I'm talking like social standing. Like, you go out with people in...
Six.
Yeah. You go out with the people in your... Yeah, so...
Not a seven, though.
Yeah, so they were never the cool people. Like, we were all kind of like in a similar... I tell you the one I loved. I was absolutely obsessed with it when I was 14. I went out with... And she was the background on my Nokia 7720. So, or whatever the phone was at the time. Yeah, big into her. And then I got when I was like 16, I got my first proper girlfriend.
Yeah.
And we were together like 2 and a bit years.
And then you lost your virginity to her.
I lost my virginity. Soph Sutcliffe, we're still friends.
Nice.
She's really cool. She designs underwear for Agent Provocateur. That's her job.
I need to know her.
Yeah, she's fucking awesome. Like, so for years, like when we left to university and she broke my heart, she went to study underwear design, like to design underwear. And she was like for Topshop for years. I used to always find it really amusing that I'd be like even now with my current girlfriend, I'm like, my ex probably designed those. And like, which she obviously fucking hates, but I find really amusing. So, and we went out for 2 years and like, that was kind of my first proper relationship.
Did you enjoy all this positive attention from the women?
Yeah, it was quite nice. Like, I was, but also, like, when I was younger, like, I always had, like, quite a few female, like, I was always friends with the girls.
Yeah.
Right, okay, we're going to go back to something now that I consciously thought I wouldn't discuss. When I was at primary school, the teachers thought I had a gender identity crisis because...
We've not had this before. No.
So basically, I was friends with, like, I had a few, like, boyfriends that were like me, like boy mates.
Yeah.
But I was friends with, like, lots of the girls at school because I wasn't into football or anything like that.
Also, yeah. It's that wonderful age before you start separating the genders.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You, for some reason, it gets to, like, year three and all of a sudden it's this big deal. Yeah. Being like, you can't come over mine.
Oh, no.
You can only be friends with your gender.
We're talking year five and six. And,
okay, great.
I was friends with all these girls and they basically made me, like, they're like, you're an honorary girl. And they gave me, like, a tongue-in-cheek girl name. They used to call me Doris.
Yes.
And, like, it was kind of like a, oh, you're one of us. But they all called me, my teacher, Mr. Flynn, heard them calling me Doris and, like, called my mum being like, does Matt know he's a boy? And, like, there was this whole kind of, and I was like, and they sort of sat me down and they're like, oh, because, like, obviously, like, you are a gender, like, I mean, like, that shit wouldn't fly now, would it? But they're like, you know, do you feel like you're a girl? And I was like, no, yeah. I'm happy being a boy, but like
they gave that discussion. Yeah, I think that's good.
I was like, oh no, but I like I'm friends with them, and it's kind of like I'm one of them, so I get a girl name.
Yeah.
Like it's not a weird thing. And then it has come up like as I was a teenager, like people are like, oh, you were Doris, weren't you? And you're like, oh yeah, cool. I mean, we're 18 and at a party now, but yep, I was Doris. Yeah. Cool. Let's talk about that. So yeah, like I was always friends with girls, and even when I was like before school, I went to a childminders for years, and I was the only boy. So like, I always felt comfortable with women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like, it was never a weird thing to like have girlfriends and stuff because I was always friends with girls. So it's just a natural next step, isn't it?
There's something really pleasing still to me about an adult man being like, and I'm friends with girls, you know, I'm just girls, like, and they're just trying to find a way to explain it without sounding weird.
No, even,
like, but no, I just, the panic is pleasing
not at all,
for me.
But I would say even now, I'm not a man's man. Because, like...
I get that.
Yeah, do you know, because, I mean, I can't talk about, like... I mean, as you get older, you kind of weirdly, you find people like you in life naturally. Yeah. So like all my mates are like me. And all my mates that I had when I was 16, I still have now.
Yeah.
And, you know, you meet people through comedy and you talk about comedy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if I have to talk to other men, I've never been able to do that because I'm not interested in any of the same stuff, really.
No. Totally. But you're still...
I know, like,
the thing I was saying about the phrase man's man, I'm just sort of like, you're still, like, you can be whatever you want to be. Man's men, like, they don't really exist.
I don't want to be a
man.
Look, the thing is, like, man's, if someone goes...
I've got friends that go out with man's men and fuck me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's a real man's man. You're like, emotionally repressed and a bit of a cunt is basically what you're saying, aren't you?
That is literally it.
So yeah, anyway, back to the thing. Like, so attention from girls was nice, but like it wasn't like weird because like we were friends. Like, it's just that natural progression, isn't it?
Yeah, because... Yeah, you can talk to them.
Absolutely. Like, girls are people too, guys.
What?
Yeah, girls are people too. I don't...
I know that. Rosie treats them like objects. Objects! I've seen her objectify women.
We can objectify some women later if you'd like.
On my life, I've seen you objectify.
You know, you can respectfully, like, go, oh, they're lovely, without it's not objectification.
Yeah.
You can speak about them respectfully.
I hear what you're saying, but it's like I watch a film that's like amazing about me too.
Yeah.
And that's what I should have got from it, but there's one scene in it with Kate McKinnon and Margot Robbie in bed together, and that is a scene that I enjoy.
Look at me and so honest, did you wank? Look at me.
No, I didn't because I had a big wank in the morning.
You felt spent.
So I was spent out, but for sure, that's wank.
Big time.
I've never heard, I had a big wank in the morning as a phrase ever. I fucking
love it. She's got cerebral palsy. It's not the easiest thing. Fucking hell. It's a lot to recharge yourself.
So
muscles are different.
Probably 10:00.
Did you timestamp it? Did you write down the time? Or do you just remember?
But I just remember because I...
Is that enough for you, just remembering something you saw yesterday?
Yeah. She's got a good imagination.
Actually, they didn't get off in the film, so I'll need to make that bit up in my head.
This just reminded me. I got a tweet the other day from
Kate McKinnon and Margot Robbie. You've got a type then. Is that your? Are they your type?
No. Yeah. Come on. No, we're arguing on everything today.
Because my type is I almost exclusively fancy lesbians.
Really?
Everyone that I'm like, oh, they're my celebrity crush. A year later, they come out. Like, I've got a real...
Yeah.
But also, like, I like androgynous kind of boyish girls. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart, Cara Delevingne. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, anything that's got, like, a bit of a boyish charm about them. Oh.
Now,
yes, please.
I think I prefer feminine, and I think celebrities, I prefer blonde. But in real life, brunette.
Really? Yeah, I like brunette.
I don't think you are into hair colour as much as you are size.
What do you mean size?
She loves petite women. Like she wants to be
tiny little
the dom. As
do
it were,
you? The top.
But she's only, what, you 5'2"? So if you want to be the dom in a relationship physically and you're 5'2", she's dating exclusively 5 foot tall women.
There aren't a lot out there.
God,
there aren't a lot of 5 foot queer women. But
well,
they are there.
Isn't it your lucky day? Because I know a recently single 5 foot tall figure skater that I could.
It's going to happen, guys. I can feel it.
Matt, if you were 5 foot and you had tits,
would we? I think we'd have a... And you know what? We've got the same opinion on fridge magnets. We would have a lovely... We would have a really nice life together.
No, this is bullshit, because I came into this recording arguing with Rosie and now I feel like you've sided with her.
I haven't sided with her. We've just like we've met a few times before, but I've never. This is the longest Rosie and I've ever sat down for, and we've just kind of like we've got like a little friend crush going on.
We've found each other, and you should be happy.
Should be happy.
I want a compliment from both of you.
If you love something,
we'll
let it go.
I don't give a shit.
Want a compliment from you?
Yeah, from both of you.
You introduced me to my favourite person ever. Thank you.
You introduced me.
No,
to
no.
Never. Thank you.
I'm going to text Emma Black right now and be like, make sure there's a Kinder Bueno at home.
We should invite Emma Black out with us.
Yeah! Oh,
fuck
she's
both of
so
you.
Good.
Sorry, so what do you want to talk about next? Sorry, we've really gotten distracted.
Daddy taking us on a journey. I really don't know where to go.
I think what we will say is that this is Daddy's trip now. You're going to get a special trip. And to be honest with you, and not to try and take control of this, but we're all control freaks, and I really think today's journey should be a journey of reconciliation.
Okay.
So I think all three of us are going to Decot.
Lovely.
We're going back to your hometown.
Can we say hi to my Uncle Jerry who lives there?
Hello, Uncle Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
And then, because it's your day out, you're getting creative control.
Ooh.
So me and Helen are your actors and we're going to be in your film.
Okay.
I can do accents.
Yeah.
I'll audition for anything.
I can do any accent as long as that character has cerebral palsy.
Do the Scottish cerebral palsy. I love that one.
Hot no.
It's good, isn't it?
That is really good.
No.
See, my problem is I can only do accents if the people are Michael McIntyre or the X Factor voiceover man.
Oh my God, do the X Factor.
X Factor.
It's time to face the music.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. That is really good.
Could you introduce me?
It's Daddy, look at me, with Helen Bauer and Rosie Jones.
Oh my God, I love that. You know what? Maybe we shouldn't be in a production. Maybe Matt should just walk around Didcot saying hi to people he could have been friends with at school.
Hello. I see.
Sleep.
Where are my dinner ladies? So,
you should have left him years ago.
Is that his day trip then?
Yeah.
Just me yelling at
Me yelling at people in the streets as my two impressions. You haven't even asked for the second one. I'm slightly offended.
Oh no, I
get one. Get
I know
one.
That this is like you know he's got the same agent as him, so I don't know.
Not the exact.
Oh, then fine.
Okay.
Hello, it's lovely to be on your podcast today. You know, it's nice to be sat down talking about my childhood. I love talking about
my
childhood.
That's really
you
good.
You know when you're a child, I was a child, I was at school, I used to walk around the playground going, hello, have you noticed the hopscotch? You know the hopscotch, we hop and we scotch. Why don't we scotch and then hop?
That is genuinely brilliant.
That's incredible.
Thank you, guys.
I wish people could see it, because...
I just turn into him. Yeah, I just really do. It's a real. If you can't afford Michael McIntyre for anything, I mean, weirdly, years
corporate.
You know, if you've got we love McIntyre, but we have £300. I'll do it.
I'm going to end this podcast by saying, granted, we haven't asked Matt outright once whether he likes attention, but I feel like someone who offers up two impressions, we ask for one and then goes, I'll do the other, I'll do it. He's answered it for himself. Please, give it up.
Shall I do it?
You haven't asked. Oh, I'll do it.
Yesterday, weirdly, I was with my neighbours yesterday.
Still going.
No, sorry. So talking about this, the perfect example of this... we did some outdoor decorations of our flats with our neighbours. Yeah. And someone brought up Michael McIntyre, and Sam turned to me and she went, it's the first time someone's brought up Michael McIntyre and you haven't begged to do your impression? I was like, cool. You're not a fan then?
Begged
to do your impression. So that's how much I like attention.
Do you do it on your own podcast, the impressions?
No, it's not. It's never come up. Organically.
Okay. I mean, I want to plug when no one's watching right now, but at the same time, I'm like, promise you'll do your impressions.
I'll do my impressions. Yeah, I will. Yeah. So, I will plug when no one's watching.
Please plug everything.
I've got, go
on. Could you plug everything and your socials, but also do it at Michael McIntyre?
Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you for that gift.
So if you want to listen to a podcast, you know, podcasts, they're on an iPod and you're casting, you can listen to Matt Richardson, who does a podcast with Matt Willis off of Busted. They have a podcast together called When No One's Watching. It's all about the things you do when no one's watching. You know, the weird little things you do. Maybe you like to pick spots. Maybe you like to eat something unusual. I don't know. You can get that everywhere. We've had one series. And Helen Bauer's already been on. I've asked you to come on in series two.
Please.
Such a good podcast.
We've already, for series two, starts in January. So this will be out now. Mm-hmm. We've got a Busted special with all of
us. I saw this announced and I shit myself.
A Busted special. We're doing a live one on the 11th of February with, I think, Joel Dommett.
Very nice.
Just booked.
Very nice.
Edith Bowman, Georgia Steele from Love Island.
Great.
Stop it.
Yeah. AJ Adudu, Laura Whitmore. Like, we've got loads of amazing names. And then I also do one called Sports Virgins with my mate Amy Vose.
Yes, I just saw this come up on my Apple podcast recommendations.
Did it?
I haven't listened to it yet, though. It literally just popped up.
Basically, it's me and Amy who know nothing about sport.
Learning about sport.
Being told about sporting news and terms and us just going, I don't fucking know.
Definitely check that one out as well.
Yeah. It's really also really good. Yeah. Check those out.
Thank you so much, Matt Richardson.
It's been an absolute pleasure. You can also...
Fuck you!
You can also follow me on at Matt Richardson 3. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok.
Oh, you're not on TikTok,
No, I'm not on fucking TikTok.
Okay, right. Thank you for listening. Goodbye!
Bye!
You have One new voice message. New voice messages.
Hello, Nathan Dirty Roberts. How are you? But more importantly, how was your childhood? Because now is your time to discuss it in detail with me and Helen. Oh, you better be ready. All right, get back to me. Love you, bye.
Deleted.